All right, lecture five is Bible study. All right, welcome back again. This is lecture five. My name is Steve Elzinga. I'm leading this youth ministry course. If you're thinking about starting a youth ministry or you're involved in one, hopefully you're learning some things that will ultimately make a difference. All right, so Bible study. Dealing with your own fear of leading a Bible study. Okay, that would be step one. Fear, you might have the fear of not being able to relate or connect. You're taking a Bible, which is words that have been written, different people, different centuries, different time, different cultures, different language, and now you're trying to relate it to another culture maybe that you don't understand either, young people. And so you're like, am I going to be able to relate this? Can I relate to them even myself? And then am I going to be able to relate the Bible? Can I relate the Bible to anybody? So there's a lot of fears with a youth minister's ability to actually connect Bible to student. There's the fear of misleading, you know. I can study the Bible and I can think one thing or another, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong about things in my own life. But if I start telling kids stuff about the Bible, what if I'm telling them the wrong thing? And then I mislead them in the understanding of the Word of God. See, now the stakes are quite a bit higher. Oh, the fear of not knowing enough. I talked about that earlier. You know, ministry workers always have this fear, by the way. If you have this fear, then join the club, because everyone does. Because you could always learn more. The fear of not knowing enough. The fear of being boring, okay? Maybe you've gone to church yourself. A lot of sermons are boring. Or you were in youth ministry and the people were boring. Or maybe as you're leading the Bible study, you're bored with yourself. If you were a student, you'd be bored with you. Number five, fear of not being able to lead young people. Okay, again, the cultural distance. Am I connecting? I don't know if I'm connecting. I taught 7th grade catechism when I was, I think I was 20 years old. I taught for a whole year, and I had no idea that I was connecting at all with the students. They were in 7th grade. Then I went to the school that many of these kids went to, the high school, many years later. They were in 12th grade, so 5 years later. And I did a little chapel, and then I was walking to my car, and one of these kids that I had in 7th grade catechism came out, and he thanked me for all the wonderful things that we discovered when he was in 7th grade. And I had no clue. I had no idea that there was any connection whatsoever. So you might be connecting with young people, but sometimes you just don't know. Okay, dealing with your own fear of leading a Bible study. Just deal with it, okay? Admit your fears. I have all these fears. Make sure you have a consistent walk with God. Okay, the first thing you need to do is be walking with God yourself. If you're not walking with God, then why would you share anything with young people? You have to have a daily walk with God. That's reading the Bible, praying every single day. If you're connected to God, then God can change your course, can help you, can direct you. You have something relevant to say to kids that's ongoing, not just something you learned. Learn how to be an effective Bible leader, Bible study leader. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, dealing with the kids' fears. Not only you as a leader have a fear of, participation in the Bible study, but the kids have fears too. So there's a lot of fears, okay? Number one, kids have a fear of looking stupid. So why don't they engage when you ask a question? They don't want to say the wrong thing. Or they don't want to say something that might look stupid. They're fearful of what you think, but they're probably even more fearful of what their fellow students think. Fear of being judged. Okay? Not only will they think I'm stupid, but they'll think I'm wrong, or that I'm off, or that I have some defect, or I might reveal something in what I say or what I don't say. Fear of being discovered. Okay, Adam and Eve hid from God. As sin came into the world, they hid from God. They hid from each other. Why? Because they were afraid of being discovered. There, we inherently have this fear that people are going to discover who we really are, and if they discover who I really am and they don't like me, then that's all I have. And they don't like who I am. So we spend a lot of our time creating a cover, creating an image, you know. And now online, you can create your own image. You can post your own pictures. You can send them through filters, and you know, and you can have people see you the way you want them to see you, not the way you truly are. All right. So how do we overcome some of these fears? First of all, one thing you could do is establish ground rules. Okay? There are rules often in a Bible study, but people just don't know what they are. And when people don't know the rules, people are timid and reluctant. They don't know where the landmines are. Okay? Number one rule, no fixing unless asked. Okay? So I make a comment, and then you all want to fix me. Or let's say I share something, you know, some fear I have, and then all of you want to fix my fear. Well, when people hear that, they go, oh, I'm not sharing something. I got the whole room trying to fix me. I don't want to be the subject of a counseling session here in the youth group. No fixing. They share their things. You let them talk. You listen to them. Fixing is only something you do if they ask for it. No sharing outside the group. Okay, what is shared here stays here. Because otherwise, again, people will be reluctant to share. I share this, and then someone goes and tells other people, and then it goes around, and it becomes this gossip thing. No wrong answers. Well, that's stupid. That's wrong. That isn't what happened. Okay, when young people are saying things that are wrong half the time. If you start correcting everything that someone says, no, that's not right, then they'll stop talking. You want people talking. People will generally figure out what is the good thing and what isn't. When you're trying to come up with a solution, now what would be the right thing to do? If someone comes up with a horrible idea, and someone else comes up with another idea, and someone else, eventually the good idea will rise to the surface. No arguing. Okay? What happens in a group, you start talking and then someone disagrees and now two people start arguing. And the rest of us are sitting there. And when you argue in front of a group, it starts becoming more about being right than what is right. Arguing becomes a game that each one is trying to win. And in front of a group, you don't want to lose. And you will not lose. And so you usually get a stalemate and it escalates and people get angry and hurt. And now no one's going to talk. Yes to encourage. Ah, that's an insight. Wow, I never thought of it. You know, someone says something that's outlandish, that isn't true or whatever. Well, that's interesting. I never heard that before. What I'm applauding is your attempt. What I'm applauding is that you dared to say something, not that you said it right or that you were right. Yes to participation. Good job. Hey, thanks for sharing. Bob, do you have any thoughts on this? One way to get participation is to ask a question and have everyone write something down. If you just ask a question, hey, here's a question. Now you go around the room. Well, I don't know. You put me on the spot. When I say, write something down. Now they write something down. They feel more secure writing it down. They're not saying it. And now that they've written it down, you can just say, can you read what you have? Oh, okay, I can read. Well, how to study? Well, one way to study the Bible is topically, okay? Topically, you know, we're going to look at the study of self-identity. We're going to look at the study of lying. We're going to look at the study of work. We're going to look at the study of play. We're going to, talk about relationships, dating, drugs, opportunities, whatever it might be. You pick a topic and then you go, what does the Bible have to say about this? Okay, that's one way. Another way is to pick a passage or a book of the Bible. We're going to study the book of Ruth. We're going to study the book of John. We're going to study the book of Philemon. Or we're going to study John 3:16 or whatever it might be. Okay, those are kind of the big two options. On the topical, one way to go is to find a pre-made Bible study on that topic. Very easy. Go to the bookstore. There it is. There's the topic I think that people will like. Okay, that's one way. Or you do your own. I suggest do your own. That's always better. Do your own. Well, how would you possibly do it? You're going, what, do my own? How could I do that? Well, simple. A, ask your students what topics they want to study. Okay, what are the topics in there? Maybe help, give a few, give them an idea of what, but then write it down. Write down three topics. You have 20 kids, and all of a sudden you have like 40 topics. Ask your students to find where in the Bible that topic is discussed. So that's Bible study number one. Okay, here's the topic, dating. Can you find anything in the Bible? All right, groups of five each, and look on the Bible and see if you can find something on this topic. C, ask your students how the chosen passage on the topic helps them with the topic. Now you're studying these passages. Maybe they came up with five or six of them. That's 6 weeks of topics. 6 weeks of Bible study. Done. Find a pre-made Bible study on a passage or a book of the Bible. Again, it's easy. You know, there's all kinds of pre-made Bible studies on books of the Bibles or sections of the Bible. Easy. Or do your own. I'm suggesting you do your own. Ask your students what passage or book they want to study and pick one. Okay? Again, when you give ownership away, it's that club idea. This is your club. This is your youth group. What do you guys want to study? It's not about what I want you to study. It's what you want to study. So what is it? What book of the Bible would you like to study? Well, then how would you write this study? Write a whole Bible study on a passage or a book? Read the passage and have your students underline whatever stands out to them. This is the simplest way to do a Bible study. And it works every time. So let's say we're doing Luke chapter 15. Let's study some of the parables of Jesus. The first one is Luke chapter 15, story of the prodigal son. Let's read the prodigal son. And as I read, I want you to underline whatever stands out. And whatever that means to you, whatever that means. It may stand out for whatever reason it stands out to you. Okay? Have them share. Okay, hold it. Have them share what they where's B? Looking for B. Okay. Read the passage and have the students underline whatever. Okay. C. Sorry. Have them share what they underline and why it stood out. So now, since they underline, it's all right. It's right in front of them. They don't have to search for it. You just go around the room. Just start with Bob here and Sally, you're next. And you know, what'd you underline? I underline this. Underline this, underline this, underline this. Everyone can succeed. Maybe they never read their Bible in their life, but they can succeed at this. They can tell you what they underline. Something stood out for whatever reason. Then D, go around the room a second time and ask each student what they think God might be saying to them through whatever got their attention. So you underline this. This is why it got your attention. And now, what do you think God might be saying? Now, they could be off the wall. They could get it wrong. But at least they're engaging in trying to look at the scripture and seeing what it means to them. Okay, that's what you want. You want them to learn the process. They might not be very good at the process. But you want to encourage them in the process because it's doing this process over and over, especially with other people, that over time you will learn more about the Bible and more about how you relate to what it is the Bible's talking about. That's what it is. We're not specifically trying to teach this one thing that the Bible talks about, but we're trying to teach them a lifestyle of Bible interaction. This is just... if you don't get anything, get this. Understand it. Now, try this. I don't care with who. Just try it. Get a Bible. Get a passage. Underline. Do these steps and see how it goes. If you don't, this whole message will go right past you and you won't learn a thing. And it won't make any difference. I guarantee it. You got to do it. If you do it, it will stick with you the rest of your life. how to get under the surface. All right, young people start at the surface of something, of a discussion, and are not ready to jump into the deep. You have to understand that. Many Bible studies tend to ask too general and too deep questions right off the bat. Okay? You must ease them into the water. I'll give you a couple examples. So typical study on Elijah. Elijah, prophet, Mount Carmel, God shows up in a dramatic way, fire from heaven. But then King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, want Elijah dead. And Elijah runs and he's depressed, okay? He doesn't eat. He runs away from the problem. He ends up at a cave. God shows up and he's upset. God, I'm the only prophet left. People are trying to kill me. I've been faithful. And, it's the picture of one depressed dude, okay? So we have a Bible study on this. We're with a bunch of young people. We have them read the passage. Then we go, when were you depressed like Elijah? And then what do young people do? They sit there. They look down. Man, when was I depressed like Elijah? I have no idea. The question is too broad. Like, I have a whole lifetime. I don't know. It's too personal. What? We're just starting. He read the passage. Now I'm going to talk about one of the most personal moments of my life with this group of people. It's like, and I see Bible studies like that all the time. Too broad, too personal. Too broad, too personal. It's impossible for a person to evaluate their life on the spot. Okay, Bob, when were you depressed? And Bob is like, what? Depressed? When I was 5, when I was 10, when I was 12, when I went to school, when my parents got divorced, I didn't even know where to begin to think in my life. It's too much to think about. I can't analyze all of that on the spot. People are waiting for me to say something. And then I don't even know what I would say if I had something to say. I don't know if I was ever depressed. Too broad, too general. Okay, try this instead. Okay, try to get this. This is so important. You might start out this way. Give me 3 classes that you took at school last year. See, people can answer that. I've limited the discussion to something small. Okay, what did I take? Geography? I took algebra. Okay. Which did you enjoy the most and why? Well, I really enjoyed geography. And I think it's because whatever it is. Okay. Which did you dislike the most and why? Well, I didn't like Latin. I didn't. I took Latin in high school. I didn't like Latin. Can you think of a specific incident that might illustrate why you did not like the class? Yeah. I didn't study. I couldn't get it. I couldn't remember the words. I couldn't remember all the grammar, I didn't know English grammar, let alone Latin grammar. Did you ever get a bad grade? Made to feel embarrassed? Skip class? Become frustrated with any of these classes? Yes, I did. I stopped studying, and then I found a way to cheat on the tests. I could get the answers ahead of time. How'd you feel about it? Well, now I feel a little guilty. Okay. How does the story of Elijah relate to this? Okay. Now it's still hard, but what I'm trying to do with these questions is direct the conversation a little bit. The question is too broad. I need to, what part of my life am I thinking about? Let's just think about parenting. Let's think about a time when your parents disciplined you and you thought it was unfair. Can you think of a time like that? You've limited the discussion, but if I ask kids to think of an example, they would still have a hard time, even though I've narrowed it down. So do you see the problem? We need to figure out how to have a larger discussion about something to narrow things down so they can finally, maybe, expose something. Typical Bible study on the prodigal son. When in your life did you feel God forgave you for something? Right? The prodigal goes off, spends his father's money, comes back, and his father forgives him. Okay? When did you need forgiveness? I don't know. Again, it's way too broad and it's too personal. You know? You have to limit it somehow. Instead, try this. Which parent, if you have two, is more apt to punish, and which is more apt to let you get away with things? Oh, okay. They can answer that question. So now we get into the parenting with a question that they can answer, and it's not too embarrassing to answer it. Oh, my mother or my father. In relationship to their children, what area do parents get the most frustrated concerning their children? Well, they don't obey, or, you know, again, it's third party, so maybe I can answer it without revealing too much about myself. Can you give an example of a time you got punished by your parents? I'm easing them in. We're talking, parenting, okay? And then we're talking about punishment. Okay, then maybe you can think of something that happened in your life. And did they forgive you? Or how did that experience you? How did it get resolved? Where do you see the relationship with your parents on the issue in the story of the prodigal son? We have to ease into these questions. Most Bible studies, when I read them, they just, boom, go right to the finish line. How does this relate to your life? How does this affect your life? When did you experience God's grace in this most amazing way? Paul, you know, experienced the God's grace by him knocking him off the horse on the way to Damascus. When did you get knocked off your horse on the way to what? And people are like, I have no idea. It's too broad. So try to think of, you know, here's where we want to go. We want to think about a time when God really entered into your life. But we have to narrow it down. What part of their life? We have to pick one. We can't pick their whole life, because they won't know where to even begin. They won't know where to think. So again, limiting, think about easing them into the discussion. Now that requires work on your part, but if you just think about how you would answer, you would struggle in the same way that you're now putting that struggle on them. Just think about it from your own experience. Read the question and go, how would you answer? So I've seen that. I've seen, you know, youth leaders, they're going to ask this question and then they realize they have to go first. And the answer is so broad and general. Well, you know, I've done some bad things in my life and, you know, I definitely needed the grace of God in my life. It's like, what? You didn't give an example. You didn't say one thing that you did or not. And so kids are now, your example is going to, okay, yeah, I need God's grace because I'm not perfect. Really? Can you give me one example of when you were not perfect? We specific, you know, generality doesn't get us anywhere. We need to get into specifics and we need to warm up to the specifics. All right. That's how to do a Bible study. Now, I've given you some practical things to try. And you're going to get nothing out of this lecture unless you take this right now and you try it. You can do it with your parents. You can do it with a friend. You can do it with your spouse. You can do it with anybody, a group of friends that you meet with. Hey, I just watched this thing and they want me to try this. And just try it. Okay? Several activities with which you can try. And if you do, you will learn something. If you don't, I'm afraid a week from now this lesson will make no difference and you'll keep making these mistakes that I see made over and over and over again. You can do it. I know you can do it. Try it. All right, we'll see you next time.